Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the joint BCE-MTS analyst conference call. I would like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Thane Fotopoulos. Please go ahead, Mr. Fotopoulos.
Thank you, Donna. Good morning to everyone on the call, and welcome to the joint BCE-MTS analyst conference call. As you're aware, this morning we announced that BCE will be acquiring MTS, and the purpose of today's call is to provide some additional detail and perspectives on that transaction. On the call today are George Cope, President and CEO of BCE, Jay Forbes, President and CEO of MTS, and Glen LeBlanc, CFO of BCE. George, Jay, and Glen have a few prepared remarks for you, after which we'll proceed to the Q&A portion of the call. However, before we begin, I need to call your attention to our Safe Harbor notice on slide 2, reminding all listeners that today's presentation and remarks by the speakers will contain certain forward-looking statements, including with respect to the proposed acquisition of MTS by BCE and subsequent transaction with TELUS, and the expected timing and financial impact of these proposed transactions. Several assumptions were made by us in preparing these forward-looking statements, and there are risks that actual results will differ materially from those contemplated by our forward-looking statements. For additional information on such risks and assumptions, please consult both the BCE and MTS press releases dated May 2, 2016, announcing BCE's acquisition of MTS and its subsequent transaction with TELUS, as well as BCE's 2015 annual MD&A, as updated in BCE's Q1 2016 MD&A, and news release announcing financial results for the first quarter, as well as MTS's 2015 annual MD&A. These forward-looking statements represent BCE's and MTS's expectations as of today, and accordingly are subject to change after such time. Except as may be required by Canadian securities laws, we do not undertake any obligation to revise any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and I'm making this cautionary statement on behalf of all the speakers today whose remarks will contain forward-looking statements. So with that, over to you, George.
Great. Thanks, Thane. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm thrilled this morning to be here with Jay Forbes, CEO of MTS, to announce the acquisition, or the proposed acquisition, by BCE of MTS. Both companies have a history of providing world-leading telecommunication services for over 100 years in this country. I'm pleased to report that the transaction has been unanimously supported by both board of directors. We will be acquiring all of the outstanding shares of MTS for $40 per share. 45% of the share price will be paid for in cash and 55% in BCE common equity. Glen will take you through the details of the transaction in a few moments. I'm on slide 4. Bell will be paying 10.1 times analyst estimated EBITDA of MTS for 2016, or 8.2 times, including the tax asset value and the net present value of synergies we expect from this transaction. We expect the transaction to be free cash flow accretive immediately as a result of the tax synergies and operating synergy opportunities. The transaction supports our dividend growth model and, importantly, maintains our strong investment-grade balance sheet. This transaction is subject to the Competition Bureau, to ISED, formerly Industry Canada, and CRTC approval. We expect closing to be late this year or early 2017. We are thrilled to be acquiring one of Canada's leading communications providers, and clearly Manitoba's leading communications provider. Turning to slide 5, the acquisition lines up perfectly with our strategic imperatives that we've had in place since 2008. Overnight, the company will become the number one wireless provider in Manitoba, and our wireless business, based on Q1 results, will become the EBITDA leader in Canada. It increases Bell's IPTV footprint by 350,000 homes. MTS delivers high-speed internet and IPTV to 70% of homes in Manitoba, and 90% of these homes have speeds of up to 50 megabits. It increases Bell's internet subscriber base by 6.6% and increases Bell's IPTV subscriber base by 8.6%, or 106,000 subscribers. It improved Bell's business market's positioning on a national basis and allows us to move traffic that's currently been off-net for our national accounts to OnNet. It improves our competitive position for Bell Media, particularly adding a strong distribution partner now as part of our ownership structure. And as I mentioned, there are significant opportunities because of the tax losses and, over time, operating cost synergies. Turning to slide six, BCE is making a strong commitment on continuing to build on MTS's strong legacy in the province of Manitoba. Importantly, as part of the transaction, we're committing to invest $1 billion in Manitoba over the next 5 years to expand and enhance broadband infrastructure in the province. Our world-leading Gigabit 5 service, we expect, will launch within 12 months of closing in some markets and will be up to 20 times faster than the average speed of MTS customers today. The customers today of MTS will all have access to Bell's leading 5TV services. MTS already has an industry-leading IPTV services, and we can add to that platform with our features such as trending and restart. And we expect to expand the 4G LTE network with enhanced LTE, allowing us to double the mobile download speeds enjoyed in the province today. Importantly as well, today we are announcing that Winnipeg will become Bell Canada's Western Canada headquarters, where combined with MTS and Bell's employees across Western Canada, we will have over 6,900 employees. And recognition of the incredibly strong brand MTS has in its marketplace, the new organization will be named Bell MTS. And of course, we and MTS will maintain their long-standing commitment to local communities with programs such as the support that MTS has provided for United Way. And we're excited about bringing the Bell Let's Talk program in a much more significant way to the province of Manitoba. We are committed to maintaining a strong presence in the province, and with these investments today announced, combined with the creation of the headquarters there, I think it's great evidence for everyone how serious we are about that and how important this market will be for us going forward. And with that, I want to turn the presentation over to Jay. Jay, over to you.
Thanks, George, and good morning, everyone. As I'm sure you can imagine, this is a historic day for MTS and for telecommunications in Canada. Thanks for the opportunity to join you and Glenn on this call and to share some comments. At MTS, we're proud of our history and what we've achieved over the past 100 years as an independent company. We believe the transaction we are announcing today recognizes this history of success and positions our organization for even greater success in the years to come. As slide 8 indicates, this transaction offers compelling benefits to our shareholders, customers, and employees, and holds great promise for the long-term growth and prosperity of Manitoba. Under the terms of this transaction, MTS will achieve much more than it could have as an independent company. You can see the transaction will deliver immediate and meaningful value to MTS shareholders. The premium is a record in the telecom industry and recognizes the intrinsic value of MTS. In addition to this immediate value lift, our shareholders will benefit from the opportunity to acquire shares in BCE, a company with a strong mix of growth assets, a track record of dividend performance, and a balance sheet that is both strong and healthy. And for our Canadian resident MTS shareholders, there will be an opportunity to roll over their MTS shares into BCE shares on a tax-free basis. In negotiating this transaction, it was important for us to see meaningful benefits accrue to our employees, our customers, and our community. Accordingly, we're excited to see Winnipeg as the Western Canadian headquarters for the combined operations of these two businesses. This will see 6,900 employees reporting through Winnipeg into Canada's largest communications company, an exciting development for the Winnipeg business landscape. BCE's commitment to invest $1 billion over 5 years into Manitoba's telecommunications infrastructure will also contribute greatly to the prosperity of our province and to the quality of our customer experience. An investment of this size, made by a company with Bell's scale and expertise, will be able to truly put our customers first. Finally, BCE will build on a record of community support in Manitoba. I know Manitobans will be pleased to see continued support for sponsorships, such as the naming rights to the home of the Winnipeg Jets. And it is fitting that Clara Hughes, Ambassador for Bell's Let's Talk initiative, will be part of the new Let's Talk Manitoba program for her own home province. The sensitivity you've shown in crafting an offer that addresses the unique needs of the Manitoba marketplace and community makes you the perfect acquirer of MTS. Thanks, George, and over to Glenn.
Thank you, Jay, and good morning, everyone. The acquisition of MTS that we're initiating will be by way of plan of arrangement, requiring the approval of two-thirds of the MTS shareholders, under which BCE will buy all outstanding common shares in cash and stock transaction for a total value of approximately $3.1 billion. That represents a $577 million premium to the 20-day weighted average share price as of Friday's market close. The transaction represents a valuation multiple of approximately 10.1 times based on analysts' latest 2016 EBITDA estimates. Including the estimated present value of the tax assets and cost synergies to us, the valuation multiple improves to 8.2 times, which is similar to the valuation multiple paid for Bell Alliant and in line with the Street's current valuation multiple for BCE. The transaction consideration paid by BCE will consist of 45% in cash and 55% in BCE common equity. The MTS shareholders will have an option to elect to receive either $40 in cash or 0.6756 of a BCE common share, subject to proration. On completion of the transaction, MTS shareholders will own an approximate 3% of the pro forma common equity interest in BCE. MTS will not declare any further dividends on its common shares after its upcoming second quarter 2016 dividend is declared later this month and paid in July. And I would also like to add that MTS long-term debt will continue to remain outstanding on existing terms at transaction close. If you turn to slide 11, we have structured the acquisition financing with a balanced mix of cash and BCE common equity, consistent with our long-term capital structure objectives. This will ensure that we continue to maintain a high level of balance sheet strength, financial flexibility, and investment-grade credit metrics. The cash component of the consideration, totaling approximately $1.4 billion, will be funded by cash and available sources, as well as by sale proceeds from the divestiture of a portion of MTS wireless subscribers to TELUS. We will provide the high-level details of this transaction in a few moments. I would also add that we intend for permanent financing related to the MTS acquisition to be arranged in the long-term debt markets in due course. The BCE share consideration piece of the transaction, representing an aggregate value of around $1.7 billion, will result in the issuance of approximately 28 million new BCE common shares. We expect no impact to BCE's 2016 financial guidance given the expected timing of the completion of the deal. The acquisition of MTS will be immediately accretive to BCE's free cash flow and free cash flow per share, benefiting from the projected annual pre-tax synergies of around $50 million and sizable tax losses with an estimated value to BCE of approximately $300 million or $4 per MTS share. The transaction, therefore, supports BCE's dividend growth model, as well as our strategic imperatives, as George described earlier. On a pro forma basis, at transaction close, Bell's net leverage ratio will be essentially similar to year-end 2015. That leverage ratio will also reflect the incremental MTS long-term debt that will be assumed on this transaction. We fully expect to be within our target policy range within a reasonable time frame over the next couple of years through growth and free cash flow, applying free cash flow after dividend payments to deleveraging. So, those are the key elements of today's transaction, and if I may reiterate what George and Jay stated earlier, this is an excellent transaction for both MTS and BCE shareholders alike. And with that, I'm going to pass the call back over to George for a few additional comments.
Great. Thanks, Glenn, and thanks, Jay. Also, if you go to slide 12, in addition this morning, as you would have, I believe, now seen, we have also announced that upon closing, we will sell one-third of MTS wireless postpaid customers to TELUS. TELUS will also assume approximately one-third of the MTS dealer locations. Pro forma, the acquisition, Bell will have approximately 425,000 total subs in Manitoba after the sale to TELUS. The BCE MTS transaction is not conditional on the BCE TELUS transaction. The sale of the subscribers will reduce our cash requirements for the acquisition and is consistent with BCE's strategic investment objectives for Manitoba. We just turn to slide 13. You can see the next steps, and the calendar there is fairly straightforward. And as we said, we are hopeful the transaction will close by the end of this year. If we don't make that, we would expect it to be early in 2017. With that, let me turn the call back over to Thane, and we'll open up the call for questions. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And one more important announcement for those that don't know, the Raptors won last night.
Thanks, George. So before we begin the Q&A period, I want to ask participants to keep their questions limited to today's announcement and refrain from asking anything related to MTS's Q1 results, which will be announced next week. So with that, Donna, we're ready to take our first question.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel the question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. And the first question is from Greg McDonald from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Wow. First question. Thanks, guys. And congrats on the deal. I just wanted to ask about sort of pro forma looking company. This is a business that is cut pretty dramatically, both on the CapEx and the OpEx side. And it looks like you're making up for some of that cut in the $1 billion you've noted on CapEx over 5 years. Is that $1 billion exclusive of or inclusive of what Manitoba Tel has currently guided for CapEx?
Oh, well, Jay can comment on guidance for MTS for CapEx, but I think the investment community should assume a CapEx program for MTS that's $1 billion inclusive of everything over that five-year period. And, of course, whether or not that's as simple as $200 million a year divided by 5 years or whether or not it grows with the growth of the asset over that time period, we'll make that investment in the province. And obviously, a significant amount of what MTS has been doing, of course, is investing in broadband, and we're going to continue that, but obviously accelerate it in order to provide the 1 gig services. It means a rollout of fiber to the premises in the province over that period of time, as well as the overlay of enhanced wireless technology as well. So the street should take that as the capital number in total, and you know, we'll worry later on about how that ramps up. And Jay, maybe over to you if there's anything else on that you think we should add.
Yeah, George, I'd just add that the guidance that we provided the market in terms of the 2016 capital spend would be at a capital intensity level of 18% or less.
Okay, and a quick follow-on on the OPEX side, similar. I mean, there's been a lot of OPEX cuts here. Some of us have questioned what that means for medium-term revenue growth profile, and the consensus numbers are kind of flat revenue for this company. Is that consistent with the way that you're looking at things? Or do you see something different?
Well, I'm certainly not going to give guidance on the specific asset and revenue and expectations. But I think on the synergy side, you know, there's clearly some duplication of public company costs that come out immediately, different financing work that we would do, which wouldn't, you know, be as complicated as having two organizations. The other side of that, of course, we do bring scale to the province of Manitoba, as Jay mentioned in the transaction. So clearly, some of those synergies are going to come out of our buying power that we quite frankly bring now to the province of Manitoba, both on the supplier side, handset side, access to all handsets, not having to use a middle distributor, and those type of things will drive the type of synergies we expect. But in terms of top-line revenue growth, as you would expect me to normally say, we won't be providing any guidance on that today.
Okay, understand. I'll pass it on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Next question.
Thank you. The next question is from Vince Valentini from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. Question and a half maybe on the TELUS transaction. You say in the slides the divestiture proceeds are commensurate with the MTS transaction. Are you referring to the 10.1 times unadjusted multiple, or are you thinking about the 8.2 times after you get your synergies?
I think what we said is all we're going to say today on the TELUS purchase. There'll be more, obviously, at a point in time to come when ultimately those values get released. But we're in respect for TELUS, in respect for MCS, that's really all we're going to say, what we've disclosed on that.
Okay.
But thank you for the question, and it is clearly a question that at some point will be answered.
Did you have a follow-on, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, you may not want to answer this either, but just curious, like, technically, how does that work to transfer subscribers? You just give them a third of the customer list, and it's up to them to go out and call those customers and try to migrate them? Or how do you force a customer to say, you're Bell, you're TELUS?
Well, I don't think it's forced. It'll be handled, obviously, in a professional way, just like today. If we weren't doing that, we are acquiring MTS, and the company is rebranded. So clearly, TELUS will be acquiring something from us at that point, and that would be those customers, and those customers then would be obviously reached out to in a professional way from TELUS, and you know, these type of processes we've done before in the industry. So we're fully comfortable that all customers are going to have tremendous choice going forward in the province.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Maher Yaghi from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, and congratulations on the deal. I wanted to ask you a question about the regulatory environment. And when you combine your internet subs, your TV subs, and your wireless subs post the transaction with TELUS, you're flirting or you're going through the 30% market share in Canada on all three service levels. And we've seen in the U.S. the 30% seems like a regulatory concern or competitive concern that comes up all the time. So I wanted you to talk about that and your view on the 30% plus market share that you'll get on these services. And also, when you look at prices in Manitoba right now, they're 30 to 40% lower than prices we're seeing in provinces where you only have three wireless suppliers or strong wireless suppliers, excluding Wind, which is, you know, catering only on the low end. So I wanted to get your view on, have you discussed this transaction with the regulators preemptively? If not, you know, are you open to offering more than the transaction you announced with TELUS to get this deal done? Does the economics of the transaction allow you to give more to get the transaction done?
Well, let me first of all talk about the competitive dynamics in the marketplace with the divestiture of a significant number of subs, of course, to TELUS. Obviously adds to the environment there. We're following the regulatory process. We believe it'll take 9 months to 12 months to conclude it, and that's really my comment on regulatory. In terms of the marketplace, if, as I said, you're talking about pricing in the marketplace, clearly TELUS's position in the wireless industry is significantly enhanced in this transaction, as is Bell, and so you would expect, I think, the market to continue to be as competitive as it has, and if not, maybe even more as a result of all of this. But we'll see how that unfolds. Thank you.
Next question, please.
The next question is from Drew McReynolds from RBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Good morning. Glenn, I guess, just on the magnitude of free cash flow accretion, we'll obviously all run our numbers, but just for the purposes of timeliness here, can you give us kind of a quantification of that? And conversely, you know, how dilutive on an EPS basis this could be? And then secondly, just in terms of the tax losses, would you be able to immediately utilize them, assuming kind of closing early 2017 in 2017?
Good morning, Drew. Well, let's put in perspective the acquisition we have here in front of us represents about a little better than 4.4% of BC's enterprise value. So obviously, you can do your calculations, but the accretion dilution metrics from that are going to be minimal. We do believe this to be free cash flow accretive immediately, and will be in 17 when it closes, and that's driven by the inclusion of the assets, but also from the tax value that you allude to that we'll be able to take immediately in 2017. We believe we'll be able to utilize those losses. So on a free cash flow basis, again, it is accretive. We're not disclosing the magnitude of that accretion today, but again, I point to the size of it relative to our enterprise value.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. And you have Manitoba Tel or MTS has a network sharing arrangement with Rogers. You know, presumably that will be terminated. Can you comment at all on the cost of that or what the process is on that?
Yeah, well, I will. Go ahead.
Yeah, George.
Jay, could I turn that? Jay, could I turn that over to you?
Yeah, perhaps I'll take that one, Drew. The NETCO arrangement that we have with Rogers here in the province of Manitoba is underpinned by a complex set of agreements that we plan to work through in the coming months as we work to closing.
Okay, and last one for me, just on pension liabilities at MTS, obviously something you assumed when you did the Bell Lion transaction. You know, is there anything kind of unique here in terms of how that factored or weighed into valuation?
Drew, there's nothing unique. The pension liability and the DB pension plans that exist at MTS are consistent with many of the plans that that exist here at BCE, and were consistent with plans that it were with Bell Lion. They are closed plans to new entrants. And if you look back to historic disclosures of MTS, you'll see where their pension solvency deficit was in 15, you know, around $221 million, I think it was at the beginning of 15, which is consistent to a solvency funding ratio of the plans at BCE. So nothing new to report on that or inconsistent to previous pension deficits that we acquired through Bell Lion.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Jeff Fan from Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and congrats. A couple of very quick clarifications and then a regulatory question. One on clarification about the synergies, $50 million. Is that after taking into account the TELUS transaction? And then just a follow-on regarding the pension obligation, there's also, in addition to a couple hundred million of solvency deficit, there's roughly $350 million of letters of credit. So if you add them all up, you know, it's pretty sizable. Wondering if that's included in how you get to your 10.1 calculation on the multiple. And then just lastly on regulatory, maybe I'll ask it a different way. How confident are you that the government is actually changing their policies with respect to the number of operators in any particular market going from 4 to 3? Or is this really just a transaction to try to test that policy, given we have a new government? I wonder if you can just give us some color on that. Thanks.
Yeah, and what was the first question?
First, including TELUS.
So on the synergies, stand as we've said. So you know, you can the $50 million number. That's how we expect to operate the business ourselves. Really irrelevant to the TELUS question or transaction. On that front. And then maybe I'll do the reg piece and then turn back. As I said on the regulatory, you know, we look forward to working with the three regulatory groups that we talked about. We think it'll be a 9 to 12 month process, and we'll just follow that process and work respectfully with the regulators.
And Jeff, your question on pension, we're well aware that there's a MTS has historically utilized letters of credit and to the tune of around $350 million, and that's fully baked into our evaluation of this transaction. We're well aware.
Sorry, so that's included as an obligation in to getting into the enterprise value?
The $250 million is certainly included. The letters of credit are, you know, a viable funding vehicle that they've used. So, it, as I say, from the valuation perspective, we know that the deficit exists and it's valued.
Okay.
The point from our perspective, don't forget, for everyone on all of our pension plans, right, is we're, as a cash company, pretty unique asset. I've been saying it, I think, for 6 years, but at some point, I think all of us have. But obviously, half a point to 0.75% for us, moving interest rates, not really on just the MTS transaction, for the entire company, is so significant from a cash flow perspective, and that's something not to be lost in looking at our overall valuation of the company, obviously, going forward. Of course, everyone has their own view of interest rates, so we'll leave that to investors.
Good. Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question is from Philip Wang from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Question to Winnipeg, becoming the headquarters of Bell's Western Canada. Just wanted to sort of better understand what the primary role will be for this office and whether we should read this as an indication of desire to potentially further expand Bell's presence westward should the opportunity arise in the future.
No, I think the announcement stands on its own. I mean, it would absolutely be the right place for us to have the Western Canada head office, given the size and scale of this investment that we're making, the history MGS has had of being successful in their market, and the management team that will be there. But that, you know, that alone stands alone for why it should be that location. And I would not read anything else into it beyond that. But thank you for the question.
Got it. Thanks.
The next question is from Michael Rollins from Citi Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you look at the fiber business case in the Manitoba market and how that might be similar or different to some of the assumptions that you used for your own fiber case in the Heritage BC operation. Thanks.
Sure. No, happy to. I mean, obviously there's more work to be done there. But we're completely confident based on our experience in the Bell Alliant markets and other markets such as Quebec City, where we've done fiber, and other markets in the Ontario-Quebec footprint of Bell, that the MTS marketplace will lend itself perfectly for this technology. And it will be a build-out, again, that will take time, as we all know. And over that five-year period, you know, whether or not we complete all of it, we'll just see. But certainly we're going to begin with that program and expect, again, to a migration to these fiber, to as many households and businesses as we can get to economically. But the $1 billion kind of puts a stake in the ground there for both wireless and wireline. We'd expect the business case to be very similar to our other markets. So, Jay, I don't know if you want to add anything there or not.
No, George, again, with my past experience with Bell Alliant and the current understanding of the MTS marketplace, I think you summarized it perfectly.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Next question is from Tim Casey from BMO. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Could you, Jay or George, could you talk a little bit about your plans for spectrum assets within MTS going forward? Is it your expectation you'll be able to keep all of the spectrum assets, even ones that haven't been deployed yet, or do you expect you'll have to give them back to Industry Canada or sell in the marketplace? Thanks.
It's a very good question, and the answer is simply we will work with the regulator again over the next 9 months to meet what requirements they have or don't have, and so we'll see how that evolves. It's a very appropriate question to ask us, but that's the nine-month process we're about to begin to go through.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
And the next question is from Adam Shine from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot. Good morning. George, maybe you can just speak to the why now part of doing the deal. I think a number of us anticipated that MTS would always get taken out in the next few years, but the question is why now? And maybe as a follow-up, you know, there's something special about the MTS bundles. Curious as to, maybe it's too early to ask, but curious how those might perpetuate going forward. Thanks.
Yeah, well, the why now, I mean, this is just a tremendous asset. And I think there was a general understanding in the investing community that the Allstream asset that was owned by MTS. Previously, probably was a regulatory hurdle too high for a company like Bell. And I think Jay has executed a strategy allowing for now this conversation to take place. And then when we look at the assets that's there, the opportunity for fiber into the communities in Manitoba, and the evidence we've seen in the Bell Alliance footprint tells us that the investment we're going to make is going to be compelling for our shareholders. I think we also look, there's still a growing wireless business, but I think it's fair to say there's some maturing. We talked about this on the last call, our quarterly call, and said it's about management of base. And so we think getting access to a base as excellent as the Manitoba base, and provided we live up to the customer service expectations that Manitoba is known for, we think that's an opportunity for us as well. That really all encapsulates the timing. And I think the strength that of BCE's execution, our experience now with a number of transactions, all which have been successful for our shareholders and our dividend model, and quite frankly, it takes two. So obviously there's no conversation here without Jay's team being a part of that. And so timing also goes to Jay's view. And so let me comment, turn it over to Jay as well.
Thanks, George. And I would concur with your observations. Very strong market position has been carved out here in Manitoba by MTS with a historic focus on the customer and the understanding and empathy that your organization has shown in designing a proposition that not only addresses the needs of our customers, but the needs of our larger community, made for a very compelling proposition to be considered by the board at this time and for the ensuing recommendation that they will bring forth to the shareholders for their approval late June, early July. So in terms of timing, it happened to be a very compelling offer that addressed the needs of multiple stakeholders with a partner that we have great respect for and who we believe is capable of the trust that we are going to place with them in terms of the needs of our customers and the needs of this community.
Very good. So, Donna, given the commitments that George and Jay have this morning as a result of this transaction, this will be our last question.
Thank you. And the last question will be from Robert Peters from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much, and congratulations on the transaction. Just a quick clarification from me on the 10.1 times multiple mentioned in the disclosures this morning. Does that include or exclude the EBITDA from the wireless subscribers that may be divested to TELUS?
It includes right now the business as it is, and then the synergies include the business as it is, what we believe we can do with synergies from a tax perspective and operating. And then, of course, everyone will recalculate that post the disclosure of the value and the subscribers that go to TELUS. And all that, as I said, will come out at another time.
Perfect. Thank you. And maybe just one quick follow-up on the broader strategy. You know, obviously, if we look at kind of the ARPU, our blended ARPU at MTS right now, I think, you know, Bell obviously has got a good premium there. Do you see kind of a way to reaccelerate the wireless ARPU at MTS post the close?
Yeah, I think what I would say is this on that, and we've got to get to the marketplace with the competitive services. What we have clearly seen is the faster the wireless networks become, so even now with our enhanced LTE, which in some cases are faster than some of the competitive services in Manitoba, people use the product more, the video explosion we're seeing, and as I've said on our call, that's what's driving the increase in ARPU. So if we make the right technology investments, both wireline and wireless, we'll see increased usage, and that, you know, that should bode well for our shareholders over time.
Perfect. Thank you.
Very good. So on that, thank you very much for your participation today. As usual, I'll be available for questions, as will Brenda McInnes, my counterpart over at MTS. And on that, have a great day.
Thanks everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and thank you for your participation.